So now we're in this new world of AI, everybody's talking about ChatGPT. So by the time this video will be out, ChatGPT will be up to version 9.2 probably. Yeah. Just because thankfully I have a whole backlog of these things. But how are you guys using ChatGPT in the local SEO service in your business?
Yeah, so that's a good question. And
I assume it might change in a few months. But
yeah, and so we're trying to figure out like where is its role. And like immediately the thought was, like when it first came out, everyone scrambled to let's go write content with it. And like you could put in, let's just use like the plumber, for example, you know, write me 1,000 words about plumbing, include these 5 services, make sure you include, I've been in business for this long, and then write you a thing, right? And when it first came out, that's kind of like the thought was, oh, we can, instead of hiring a writer and taking 2 hours writing a piece of content and editing it, and like we could skip it almost. We could bypass that. We could get an edge because they can do it in 30 seconds. And yeah, like we test that. Like a client literally emailed me after they saw this thing that came out. Hey, try this for a piece of content. I was like, okay, if you want me to try it, I'll definitely try it. We did it and it ranked right away. I mean, it wasn't like a huge, it was like a car accident page in like a smaller town. So it wasn't like New York City, but the thought of, hey, this could work on a smaller scale in a non super competitive area, right? But then it got to like, I don't know, like ethically, I don't know if that's the best, especially like if you're a lawyer, like are there ethics behind, did you create your own content? Is this your marketing? Like, I don't even know the legality behind that, right? So we kind of pivoted from, let's not do content, let's make our like internal tasks easier, right? So like, let's say we do Google posts for somebody. You know, rewrite this for me and it'll rewrite it for you, or give me the best emoji for this word, or like little things like that. We'll give it the content and like give us 4 titles. We actually use it for presentations too. Name this presentation, right? Like, and give us 4 examples, and like it works really well. So we use it for that. We use it a lot of times for like rewriting title tags to give it another viewpoint on things. And what I hope it gets to, and like what I was trying to get it to do this morning when I was looking at it, it was like, well, because I'm not a developer by any stretch of the imagination, but I understand how ChatGPT works. I understand what clients want. And one of this thing for a lawyer we're trying to do was put a calculator on his website. Right. Now, I know the lawyer back in the day had a calculator built for workers' comp with this logic behind it, and it cost him thousands of dollars to build with a developer. So I'm like, okay, can I save him money and like tell ChatGPT to build something? Like, hey, here's the logic behind it. And so I got to the point where like it works and like it calculates it, but doesn't show you yet. So like, I don't know, like there's something in my mind that I'm not telling it, but I think if we could use it for things like that to make, to save money, to make a process better, like that's great. Unfortunately, like that then puts people out of work, but also like, I just think that, so like how we use it, we don't use it a ton yet. But we're using it for like little things like, again, like post, rewriting title tags, helping us name presentations. I use it a lot of times to reword like closing paragraphs. So, you know, it's like, you know, like if you're an injury lawyer, like, oh, have you been hurt in this and call this, you know, we have 18 years of experience. Like it's always the same. Right. So give me a spin on that. Right. But I know there's other people doing like crazy stuff with it. Right. We're just not there yet. And we haven't really seen the need yet. I'm sure it's coming.
With over, like almost 40 employees, I assume you have a lot of processes in place.
Oh my God, we have.
Do you use internal specialized software? Are you using?
So I don't know if you remember, but we used to have a thing called like the local SEO guide, which we put out. I think we stopped selling it in like 2019 or something like that. But it was like this 400-page PDF of like everything, right? And so Joy made his decision of like, hey, I'm going to bring that in-house and I'm going to actually put all of our process into the same thing and we're going to make it our own internal thing. I'm like, that is not a good idea. Okay. So you're making passive income on this thing. Why would you? Because we sold it, right, for X amount of money and it would help people. But what I didn't understand was like how long it took to like update that thing and make, because like, you know, if something's wrong in there, like we heard about it. Yeah. Like, okay, cool. That's on page 235. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Right. So long story short, we actually just created our own like, our own internal wiki. And so like it is 600-700 pages, but like literally everything. So we have like a play. So not only just like business rules of like, here's your days off and here's employee schedules and here's your personal tracker for stuff, to like, here's the playbook to optimize the homepage for a realtor, which is different than a lawyer. Right. And so all these process stuff, like how to do, like what Google, what type of Google post is better, right? Do you want to do a regular Google post, or do you want to do an event? Like all, so yeah, so every time we do something, it gets added. So it's just this massive.
So just, how do you convert that text, that wiki knowledge panel, or knowledge base, into, like a lot of these software companies where they came out, like Moz and I guess Bright Local, any of these companies, usually stems from what their processes are and how can I go ahead and take that and make a product out of it that either we can use internally to make our 40 employees more efficient, or two, how can we maybe sell this as a SaaS product to make more money?
Yeah, so what we did was going to keep it internal, and we said, hey, listen, if this is the way to build out a site for a realtor, I suppose this is the way to build out a site for a lawyer or a plumber HVAC, we then took all that knowledge and we created Asana templates for every single thing that happens. So if we have a new client that comes in and they're a personal injury lawyer in West Nyack, I think, or whatever, like there's a playbook for that already. And we know like where to start, where, you know, what should we attack first? Actually, my wife works for the company now. And she's like she's like Joy's executive assistant, but she's like annoyingly organized with stuff. Like my house is insane. Which is good, but it's what we needed though, because we didn't have that connection. It was just like, oh, go to the guide and find it. You go waste an hour trying to find out what you're looking for.
Right.
So how do we build that into our actual process? Well, we use Asana every day for project management. So Colleen, my wife, made like all these templates, and it's automatically like when a new client comes on, so it's like you don't miss things. It took her like 3 months to build it all out. So it's a pretty good process, because we just know process is important, right? There's this there's a show called The Prophet, Marcus Lemonis. I don't know if you heard that guy, but he said like three things are important for business, or like one of these three things is why a company fails if they're not good, right? People, product, or process. Well, if we're only hiring the best people and we have a good product, then we have to make sure our process is good. And so like that is Joy's, like Joy, like not yelling, but like they'll be every day like, hey, you didn't follow the process here. Let's fix this, right? Like, hey, we missed a step. We didn't do schema, or we didn't do, you know, whatever. Like it's pretty cool. And it's this environment where like, it's no big deal. Just go back and fix it real quick. Like it's just like, yeah, there's a lot of things to do for on-page SEO.
Right.
You might've missed one of the steps, or you might've missed or not thought you need to do that. And then you really do. So, and then Joy is like obsessed with screenshots, like to make sure it works too. Right. So like, not only do we do the process, but like
documented.
The process is going to change, right? Like if we can't do the same thing all the time for 10 years, it's not going to work. Right. So, like that is Joy's only thing that she actually worries about is process stuff.
That's good. So, I mean, I'm obsessed about them. I mean, that's what my company does. We build software to make sure that companies, their employees follow the process. A lot of it's a workflow management system.
Yep.
And building in the different steps that you can't, not always, sometimes you can bypass certain steps depending on whatever, but to build the logic based on your knowledge to go ahead and say, this step and this step and this step have to be done for this type of client. You can potentially skip this step now and do it later or whatever, but you have to go through the process and even document who did it, when they did it. Because you might have the same person, you might have five different people working on, you know, one client. You have to make sure you don't forget to do something, and that's the way you set it up. So the Asana project is great because it helps you manage that. And then I was thinking maybe you can integrate AI components like ChatGPT or other APIs for AIs into the system so that it can help them along with those steps.
Yeah.
So,
and that's where we actually found problems was when we had to give a half done piece something to another employee.
Yes.
They didn't know where, like, okay, it took too much time to figure out where they were.
Right.
Because we didn't have process in place. And also, too, like, we all come from different backgrounds. I learned SEO differently than this person did. But, like, let's go by, like, the testing we've done that we know is true, that we know that works, which can adapt, which we change all the time.
Right.
But, like, I'm not just going to come in and, like, do my thing. But we did that for a while. I mean, it worked. But, like, you can do that with 11 people.
Yeah.
Because you can monitor everything.
You can talk to each other.
Yeah, and like it's a lot harder when you have 40 people working remote, right? So, yeah, process is huge for us.
Awesome. So that's cool. And the processes that you're putting in place is really cool with that. And that, I guess that's some of the benefits, maybe the issues of having a full remote team, that you have to have these processes in place to make sure it works.
Yeah.
And I mean, what are your thoughts about remote? Obviously, it's a big topic in the past 3-4 years since COVID. But everybody's trying to push, all these companies are trying to push everybody to go back. I'm not pushing my employees to go back because I think they'll just quit. Not that they're just so accustomed to it. I want to make sure they're happy. And they honestly have been doing great jobs at home because it was funny because like one day I'm like, all right, we should really go home. We were all sitting here like, we should all probably go home now because of COVID. And maybe we'll come back in a few weeks. And nobody ever came back. And the beauty of it is it was seamless.
Yep.
Because we were all set up to be remote anyway beforehand. And we had the processes in place and our task systems and our management systems. And it was fluid really nicely. But I was really hoping people would come back because we do miss that. We have like our calls all the time and stuff like that. And we miss like, oh, I'll just walk over to that person and say hello.
Yeah. So 100%. Like that's the biggest part. Because I did do, not with this team, obviously, but you know, I was in an agency role for 6 or 7 years. And like, that was the draw, right? That was the, let me go have coffee with my buddy. Let me go play ping pong. Let's go out to lunch. Like, we had those things. Or if I had a question, just let me go. I used to work with Andy Simpson. So, like, I could just go over to his desk and be like, hey, let's go brainstorm about this for 20 minutes. Let's go grab a room and let's get the whiteboard going. Let's figure this out. That's definitely the biggest struggle with remote. But that's why I think the hiring process is so important, because you have to find someone who is responsible but can also like collaborate. And so we actually do, it's gonna sound kind of weird, but we do like these personality tests when people come on. I forget like the name of it, but it actually teaches you how to work with X type of person in a remote environment, right? Like, this person's better hopping on a phone call. This person's better on, you can talk to them on Slack, right? And so like literally my entire day is just like literally hopping on calls. So so the benefits of it are obviously, like, we save on tons of overhead, like no rent, like no nothing, so we can put the money back into our people. The downside is you miss the day-to-day, like you'd have with a sports team, right? Like, you know, you get that locker room feel, like you learn about people, and it's tough sometimes that, like, I had a conversation last week with, and like, some people don't know each other yet, and that's like, well, what do I do? We're spread across the United States and in Canada. I can't have the California person go meet up with, you know, Liz in Connecticut. Like, that doesn't work. Like, how do I do that? So we're trying to do that through conferences, and we're trying to, you know, we're joy speaking. Yeah, we have a local U coming up in October, in just outside of Toronto. And so we're actually bringing the whole team up.
Is that why you created in the first place, or is it more about helping the SEO industry?
No, it started from the local U was just started because of the passion of teaching.
Okay.
And like having people just learn, and then it turned into, and then I think Joy bought it like 3 or 4 years ago. And just been a passion project for her to just, the whole point is educate. How can we do that? But not the, we don't want 5,000 people there with 18 different tracks, and we want it 100 people, 115, and you can go talk to Greg Gifford afterwards about his presentation. You can go talk to Joy or Colin or anyone who's speaking and have a breakout session or have lunch with them, and you actually get, you know, like access to the speaker and talk about things. But that's an exciting thing inside of itself. But that's, I think, one of the things I'm going to be helping out with a lot more now is like the local, because I've been to now two of them.
Right.
I've never been to one before I started. So actually, funny, I quit my old job because they wouldn't send me to a local U. Yeah, they heard that. They know that. And now that I've been to, so I went to one in Dallas that we had, and I went to one in Denver. And it's not like any other conference. It's awesome. You actually get to be with the people. So now I'm pushing Jordan. Like, give me more. Like, I want to be in charge. Like, I want to have responsibility on that. So
from firsthand experience, it's no fun. I mean, there's fun parts about running a conference, but the logistics, processes around it, it's a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't intend it being fun, but I intended to.
It's good. I mean, the feedback you get after and the people you
help. Oh, when we were there and they're like, oh my God, this was so great. And like, this was, and, but also too, like I saw, and I had a little bit of part in planning the last one, but like, yeah, we spent 4 or 5 months planning it and it goes by in 2 seconds. Yeah. It's like, oh, like that we're done. Like,
I equate it. I tell people this all the time. Cause I run, I don't deal with all the logistics on XMX, but I used to run when we did an XMX in Israel, the main conference. I didn't want to deal with it. Cause it's a hard conference to do it, especially in Israel, because who knows if people will show up?
Yeah.
And they don't want anything to do with it. I equated that to like running a wedding for 30 or 40 different brides at the same time. Like one wedding for 40 brides at the same time. Because you have the sponsors who all want to be treated a certain way. Some speakers want to be treated a certain way. And then you have the attendees. So it's not only 40 because most people are fine. But generally, it's a lot to juggle at one time.
Yeah,
but it's rewarding for sure.